Let me tell you something before we get into what I'm going to speak to you about, and that is, his promise still stands. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Some of you may have traveled a long, long way to just hear that today, that his promise still stands. You need to hear it. May have just come from around the corner. You may just live around the corner, and you need to hear that his promise still stands. But I want to tell you, his promise still stands. Come on, someone say, he's right. His promise still stands. Well, well done for turning up today. Well done. You know, I nearly didn't turn up myself. I saw the sunshine and I thought, wow, now here's a choice. How many know you made the right choice today? And God bless all those who've gone away. I believe it's raining right now in Wales. And if it's not, we're going to pray it down. But well done for showing up. Turn to someone and say, I'm glad you showed this morning. So good to see you all. And while you're just saying hi to someone, I just, again, want to say hi to all you newbies this morning. If it's your first time in, I want to tell you something. We built this place for people like you. Understand that, you know, there's a lot of our people away on holiday today and doing their stuff, but there are a lot of people here too. And a lot of those people gave an awful lot of money so that we could sit in this place, the generosity of the house, so that you could come and enjoy us being family together. And that's awesome. So we're glad you showed up as well. And for anybody who's normally here, well done. And today we are kind of, this is our living room. It's quite a large living room, but this is our living space. And I just want to bring a bit of a family chat today. Is that okay? And like normal fathers in a house, a family chat means you sit there and I speak. It's a family chat. And if you've anything to say to me after that you don't agree with, we do have some very large bouncers in the place that you can ask them whatever question you like. So we're going to move on and just speak about some family stuff. And I've asked the question, presume it's already on the back there. The title of my talk today is, What on Earth Are We Doing? And you could say that in a lot of different ways, can't you? Like, what on earth are we doing? Or, what on earth are we doing? Any others? I'll let you think of some. But the question I'm asking is, what on earth are we doing? And I just started to think this week about some stuff that we're consistently engaged in together as church community when we gather together like this. I love the church. You know, I love Jesus more, but I love the church. The church was his idea, and I just love the church. Sometimes I don't like the church very much, i.e. the people. But I love the church of Jesus Christ. I love the idea of the church and all that she is. Does anybody feel the same this morning? And I was thinking about the church and some of the stuff that we do and we're engaged in together, some of the practices that we do together on a consistent basis. And I thought of this question, which you might think, wow, he's kind of been a bit out there this week thinking about this stuff. When I say, I ask the question, What do we do here? What is the stuff that we do here together that we could do a lot better in heaven? Oh, thanks for your underwhelming response. What is the stuff that we could do a lot better up there than we can do down here? How many have got a list? You know, so we look at things, and I just want to bring these thoughts and then bring some very practical stuff on the back of this. Told you it was a family chat, and this is our living room, so I'm just going to share with you. And the first thing I thought, thing we could do a lot better up there, how about singing? How about worship, you know? Now, I don't know about you, but I love kind of our song list. Now, I know that worship is more than a few songs that we sing on a Sunday morning. How many know worship is our life? It's our offering to God, poured out as a drink offering, I think the Word of God says. But, you know, thinking about today and what we do and we worship, when we worship together, there is something so powerful. I love it. You know, whether you can sing in tune or not, that's enough about the band. You know, to whatever level, I thought you'd like that one. Use that on your podcast. And so I thought that when we come together and we're all kind of in one voice and we're covering each other's voice up who can't sing, there is an incredible song together. There's something very strong and very powerful in that about worship and about the songs and the words that we sing. Because they're not just any old words. They mean something. In fact, this is what I think. I think when we worship, God works. There's some stuff that he starts to do, because that whole thing, for those of you who know what the Bible says about this, that when we're all gathered, God kind of places himself right in the middle of our worship. Sits in the middle of it. So we're literally singing to Jesus. And he starts to work. I've known of times where we've been in worship and we're singing the song of God and people are just healed. You know, stuff happens. People get touched. Ideas come in our lives. All kinds of directional things come when we sing together, because when we worship, God works. And I love it, because we all kind of have our preference in this. And, you know, some of you come alive when we sing a Bethel song. You know, now, for those of you who don't know this, there's the battle of the bees, I'm calling it, okay? So on the one side, we've got Brian Houston with Hillsong Music. And on the other side, we've got Bill, he's another Bill, another B, Bill Johnson and Bethel Music. These are all kinds of music. You can get them, you can download them. There's some awesome songs. Don't you think there's some phenomenal stuff that's written? And we kind of, oh, well, are you a Bethel-esque church or are you a Hillsong church? Well, actually, we're Jesus' church. Yeah, that was a good way out, wasn't it? But I love that music, whether it's from there or, you know, if it's very Bethel, it might be more like this. If it's Hillsong, it might be more like this. You know, but whatever posture we have, we're honoring the name of God. And when we lift the name of Jesus, how many know that we are lifted in our spirit, because God inhabits that praise. He comes in and he does something that nobody else can do. And he does it a lot quicker, doesn't he? It's like when God touches my heart, you know, if I'm in worship and he touches my heart, he does stuff in a few seconds that it takes my counselor 10 years to do in me. Because he does stuff. Now, I ain't knocking counseling. You know, there are some people, you're looking at one sometimes, of people that need to speak about some stuff. And I want to tell you this morning, as your leader, that's okay. You know, I was brought up in a place where you don't do that. You know, Jesus has dealt with it all. You know, I believe that Jesus has dealt with my sin. There's some stuff that goes on in my head that means I've got to renew my mind. There's some things I've got to work through. Jesus says you work through that stuff. And you may need help with that. So anyway, we're back on worship, because I'm kind of going off on one now and trying to explain myself, trying to be all pastoral. So this whole music thing, whatever our posture, oh, I was going to talk about faces. You want to see some of your faces when you're singing worship songs. It's amazing. I wish we had the cameras out. You know, it's like the more constipated you look, the more spiritual you are. I love that stuff. Have a look around when people are worshiping God. It's just, the faces are awesome. And some are just stood like this. My word, made my daughter laugh. There's a miracle in itself. I better move on, because there's loads of these. So the whole thought here is, we're talking about worship down here, but the thought is that we can worship a lot better there than we can here. How many know that you cannot trump, maybe I shouldn't use that word. Some people don't like that word for various reasons. You cannot trump worshipping and singing with the angels of God. Wow! Can you imagine one day as all stood together in the presence of Jesus and singing with the angels? You cannot beat it. So we can do worship a whole lot better up there than we can do it down here. Okay. Second thing is, how about teaching? Now, I love preaching. Not just preaching myself, but I love the act of preaching. I love listening to people who expound the Word of God and bring it in such a way that not only we speak it on a Sunday, but we can live it on a Monday. I love that stuff. The application of God's Word, where people think it's all a mystery, but I love people who just seek God and bring something that can be so profound in a very simple way so that we can live our lives according to God's Word. I love that stuff. So when we think about teaching, it's awesome. There's some great people we can listen to. In fact, if you don't enjoy the preachers here, you can access the greatest preachers on the planet through your iPhone. There is so much available in the way of teaching. So I think about teaching the Word of God, but then I think, okay, how can we do that better in heaven? Well, actually, the reason that we can hear more up there and get it more than there is because we're with the author of the book. So think about it for a minute, because we don't often think about this. Oh, I don't want to think about that. I'm enjoying the preaching here too much. Well, think about it one day when we get to heaven. We will be in the presence of the author of the book. It's kind of out there that you think we will one day be able, you think we can learn some stuff here. Oh, when we get there, we can learn the manifold wisdom of God. That's the deal that we're talking about. So how many know we can do, and the thing we can do better up there than down here is teaching of the Word of God. Bible says that now we see through a glass darkly. So there's not a clear view. But when we get to heaven, we will know as we are known. Come on, someone. Even if it's only the fact that Dave knows a bit of scripture, you can go, wow, that's so true. The third thing I thought that we could do far better up there than down here is, how about community? How about what people used to call fellowship, and the trendy way of saying it now is hanging out? How about that? How about us being together? How about the gathering of the church? Not just on a Sunday, but through the week. Times where we come together and we have community together. Well, I was reminded when I was thinking about this of John 14, the Gospel of John in the New Testament, and chapter 14. It's in there, you can read it. And it says something like this: in my Father's house are many rooms. Another version says mansions. I prefer mansions than rooms myself. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if that wasn't right, he said, I'd have told you so. So he's kind of qualifying himself by saying, it's true this that I'm telling you. He says, and I have gone there. What was his purpose? To prepare a place for you. And you thought your house was okay now. He's gone to prepare a place for you. So my thought here went, well, wow, what kind of a party are we going to have up there? You know? So we can have our parties, we can hang out, we can do our stuff, we can enjoy kind of time together here, but there will be nothing that will be able to prepare like a party of heaven. I mean, imagine the guest list. Moses is coming tonight. Wow, never met Moses before. Oh, and I think Queen Esther's going to show up as well. You know, and Gideon, I believe, is coming. We can ask him, this mighty warrior, how insecure was he? How did you deal with your insecurities, Gideon? We could ask, because those kind of people will be on the guest list. I think it would be kind of cool to invite someone like Mary and Martha and play a joke of Mary by getting her to wash the dishes. Do you know what I mean? That will take a bit longer to drop in some of you. You need to read that story. Quickly moving on. And so I think that would be an awesome thought there. Us having conversations with the who's who of the Bible. Think about, who would you want to meet? Come on, tell me. David. Okay, you'd find a few things out off David, wouldn't you? Who else would you want to meet? Bible character, you kind of on your guest list. Who would you invite? Who? Isaiah. I thought it was somebody that we kind of made up. I thought you were thinking like Hezekiah, that people think's in the Bible, but he's not. Isaiah, okay. Anybody else? Jesus. That's a proper spiritual answer, that one, isn't it? It's like, he's everywhere anyway, so he's going to be there, whether you invite him or not. Anybody else? Who? Job. Whew, I bet that'd be an interesting conversation. To watch, you don't catch anything when you're near him, don't you? Anyway, you get the idea of what I'm saying this morning, and I just think, the best kind of fellowship, hanging out, community, whatever you want to call it, is going to happen in heaven. It's going to be a great party. Don't you agree? I thought of another one. So we've had worship, better teaching, better community. How about disciple making? You see, we're looking at things we can do better in heaven than we can do here, aren't we? So I wonder how much better we can bring lost people into a living relationship with Jesus better in heaven than we can do down here. And the reality is that when I looked at all those other things, I'm thinking, God, if I'm going to worship, I'm going to worship with the angels because it's going to be not only harmonious, it's going to be amazing. And the teaching, God, I can sit with you and ask you stuff. And we can hang about with all of these people, men and women of God, who did some amazing things that are in the hall of faith in the Bible and did some amazing exploits for you. And then I begin to think about people who don't know Jesus. I'm thinking, okay, we do evangelism. We call this thing evangelism. We want to bring people into a place where they know God for themselves, where they're not lost anymore, but they come into a place where they know God. Lost people being found. And I thought, wow, I'm struggling here. We're talking about winning lost people and their spiritual formation. The thought clearly came to me, Dave, you need to wake up because you can't do that in heaven. Challenge alert. Can't do that in heaven because it's too late. And the people that we have in mind that we wanted to invite, the people and our friends and our family that don't know Christ like we know him, and our plan is that one day we will show them. One day we will say something. One day we will speak the simple stories that we've heard about this morning and we haven't got around to doing it. And one day we'll be stood in the presence of Jesus singing our songs, knowing God's wisdom for eternity and wondering why we never took the opportunity of the only thing that we could ever do better on earth than we can do in heaven, and that is win people to Christ. And I went, wow, I don't know about you, but I found that such a challenge. You see, when we read Matthew 28, verse 19, which says, therefore, a lot of stuff behind it, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That is Jesus' commission to us. Go and make disciples of all nations. And I'm trying to find a way out of this and thinking, oh God, could we not do this in heaven? It's interesting that the Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations. Nations relate to things that are on earth, not in heaven. So clearly, the mandate and the commission of God to our lives in relation to making disciples is an earthly thing, not a heavenly thing. Now, I kind of asked the question, and I've been asking questions all week in my own mind about this, that in relation to our practices and our purpose, which do you think that we should be prioritizing? Because I love all of that stuff. All the stuff and the practices that we do together, I love it. And I think God enjoys when we sing His name. But outside of that, what is the only thing that we can do? In fact, the only thing we can do on earth that we can't do in heaven, it's making disciples. And so I wanted to get really practical now and the time that I've got left and share with you some things of, you know, why do we do this or why do we do that or what's this about or what's that about? And it's just a family chat. And on the back of what I've just said, I think you just need maybe to be reminded about some things. And if you're new in the house today, maybe hear some things that really make who we are up, what our culture is, and why we do certain things and in a certain way, and why it's not all the same. And maybe you'll get a little bit of understanding as well. Is that okay? Is everybody still awake? I understand that the sun will still be out this afternoon, so we stand a chance when we go out there. So hear up. So I ask, okay, in regards to some observations that I've made, let me just bring one or two of these things to you. So as community, as a church community, and as I say, if you're in for the first time, I'm pulling you into the family this morning. So hear what I've got to say. I wonder, are we friendly or friends? Are we friendly or are we friends? So let me give some context to this. What I'm saying is this. Are new people turning up on a Sunday or whenever we meet together and going through that front door and commenting to you about our friendliness, or are we befriending them? Those words are very similar, aren't they? Friendly, friends. But I wonder which one we are. You see, there's a big difference between a friendly church and a friends church. You understand what I'm saying? Difference between a friendly church and a friends church. And I want to bring a challenge to you as I bring a challenge to my own life. Every time I bring the Word of God to you and bring some practical things to you. And here's the challenge. I wonder if this morning you could take a look at your relational capital right now. That's who's in your world. What is the size of that? Take a look at your relational capital right now, and particularly in relation to the Church of Jesus Christ. This is about the family. This is about us together as the family of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to ask this question. As you look at your relational capital in relation to today's community church right now, let me ask you this question. Is it just about the few, or is it about the new? Is it just about the few, or is it about the new that we welcome in virtually every Sunday of the year? New people. Which is it? Is it about the few, or is it about the new? So this is what I think. We move from being a friendly church to a friend's church when we seriously see that new people are supposed to join us as family. God has more ideas for this church community and the size of his church and the people that he loves more than for them just to be visitors that comment about how friendly this church is. Does that make sense? And so I looked at Proverbs 18:24. I like the way that it reads in the Message Bible. It says this: friends come and go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Friends come and go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. And so I think this, before we move on to another one, I think friendly church, everyone say friendly. I think friendly church attracts people. Loads of people come. Loads of people have been. We get hundreds and hundreds of new people come every year. We've got the stats. Not you lot, or most of you. Some of you are new today. We get hundreds of new people coming every year. I think a friendly church attracts people. I think a friend's church keeps people. So our journey, this transition that we're on, you know, for those of you who've been on the series of from caterpillar to butterfly, from being this consumeristic caterpillar to being this butterfly, this beautiful thing that goes out and attracts and lands on people and is a thing of beauty and helps and contributes. That whole scenario of from caterpillar to butterfly. I think part of it is we need to be a friend's church, not just a friendly church. Okay, you love that one, so we'll move on to another one. I wrote this: shallow or deep? Shallow or deep? And I want you to now begin to view our gatherings. Think about our gatherings just for a moment. Come with me on the journey. Think of our gatherings just for a moment. And I want you to see our gatherings like a swimming pool. Okay? See them like a swimming pool. Like when we come together, we're going for a swim. So in this pool, in this swimming pool, how many know there's lots of water? You can agree with me if you like. There's lots of water in a swimming pool. And thinking about how a pool works, I want you to also see that in a swimming pool, there is a deep end. Everyone say deep. Now, when you say deep, you've got to say deep. Thank you. That was just the ladies. And everyone say shallow. Nobody wants to say shallow. Thank you. Shallow. So there is a deep end of a swimming pool and a shallow end of the swimming pool. And I want to remind you of something and let you guys know who maybe are in for the first time that we are still working at this. We're still trying to do this well. But Sunday, listen, church, Sunday is not about everyone jumping in the deep end of the pool. Thank you for your underwhelming response. It is not about that. It's not about us all swimming in Jesus so deep on a Sunday morning. You know, we heard this morning about another environment that we have called Lift. That's the deep end. Come on. Not all gatherings are the same, and they don't have the same purpose. But we always want to make everything one size fits all. We want to make it so that it's always deep. Well, let me tell you a quick story. I was around at my mum's the other day. Of course, we lost my father just last week, and I've been going around to mum, and we've just been talking about dad, and, you know, this is the guy, for those of you who knew, that his funeral's this Friday here at the Edge. And I was chatting to my mum, and she told me a story. And I'd never heard this story ever in my life. I'd heard lots of stories because my mum was a storyteller and my dad could tell stories as well. And never heard this story. And my mum said to me, you know, when we lived in Australia, which my father led church in Australia for quite a few years, and I was born over then. So the time that this story happened, I was just a toddler. And I'm thinking, as she's starting to tell me this story, I'm getting the idea of why she told me this story when my father had died, after he died. So she starts telling me this story. She said, you know, there is a beautiful river in Perth called the Swan River. If you've ever been there, it's amazing. You stand in a place called King's Park and overlook this stuff. It's just incredible. But apparently, as a family, we would go down to Swan River, the estuary there in Perth, and we just enjoy the weather and what have you. And I'm a toddler. And one day, my mum said to me, one day, my dad got hold of me. I was a toddler and threw me in the river. Now you know why she told me after he died. I'm like, you're trying to tell me something early on in my life, you know. So he threw me in the river. Like, I'll teach him how to swim. He just threw me in. My mum went ape, mainly because it's okay. If you want to do that, that's okay if you can swim, but my dad couldn't swim. He never was able to swim all his life. And then my mum said, and I couldn't swim either. So I'm like, well, I'm here now, mum. What happened? She said, someone else went in for you. Can you imagine how that made me feel this week? Like, thanks, Dad. Thanks a lot, mate. I'll teach you to swim. And of course, the thing that I want to bring through that, and the fact is that, come on, guys, realistically, you don't throw a beginner into the deep end. You don't do that. You walk through some stuff. You help them. You bring language to them in their learning that they're going to understand. You do stuff that is not so out there that people think, what on earth have I come into here? Or you don't make it about us so much that when we speak about particular people from this platform that most of the people know, and new people walk in and they think, who's Johnny? They're on about this guy and everybody's laughing because they all know the joke, but I don't know who he is. This must be a club. I'm not welcome here. Now, you might think that's pedantic. I think that's about putting beginners in a shallow end. So we share a shallow end together. Now, let me tell you something else, because I love this bit. The reality is that there are times on a Sunday morning where we will sing some songs, and we sing in the name of God, and it's powerful. I want to tell you something. When people come in, people have said it to us. They don't understand it. They don't get that. All these people stood there, you know, grown men sometimes with their hands in the air. What are they doing? Why are they doing that? And they're viewing people who are engaging with God. I love that. So we can bring our language, we can bring stuff that's going to help them. There are some times that we just pull them along, sometimes with a ring around them, and we're pulling them into the deep end of it. You see what I'm saying? They're moving along and it's like, whoa, I don't get this. My feet aren't touching the floor anymore, but something's happening here. You see, I want people to be able to come in here and give them every single opportunity, hear me, every single opportunity to find their way back to God. I don't want to be in the way of that. But there are some times where we're in worship, you know, this stuff that we've talked about, powerful stuff, and they don't get it. But you know what? There is always an air of mystery about God. Always. And I think I want some people to experience that. So hear me when I say, I thought it was a great illustration. I'd never seen it this way before until a couple of weeks ago. So someone said, it's like a swimming pool. There's a shallow end and there's a deep end. Couple more and then we're done. This one's a very quick one. Fix or fixed? Fix or fixed? My question is, in relation to as making disciples, who make disciples of bringing people into a place, into an environment where they can connect to God, where they can make their way back to God, which is the thing that we can do better here than we can do in heaven. Fixed or fixed? Let me ask this question. Is it more important that we get our fix or that people get fixed? It just came into my head as I started to think about this stuff. Is it more important that we get our fix? Oh, we had a great time this morning. The presence of God was so real. Lovely. Lovely. Wonderful. Good on you. You got a fix. Make you live good for another week, that will. Till something happens in the week. We get so low, we come on a Sunday, and then we get another fix, and off we go again. We work our way down Tuesday, Wednesday. Goodness me, is it not Sunday yet? Get another fix on Sunday. I'm ready to go. Nothing wrong in us connecting to God. Hear what I'm saying. Sometimes it can be more about our fix. Which is more important, that we get our fix or that people get fixed? I'm aware, and this is Old Testament and New Testament together, that Luke 4, verse 18, we know says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring what? To bring what? Come on, everyone. To bring what? Good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. Look, this is about broken people getting fixed. Jesus was a master at it. And you know what? Today, he's in heaven, and we are the hands and feet of Jesus. That's the reality of where it's at. Finally, one more. Needed or known? Needed and known. Needed and known. You see, kind of think it's a bit like this, that most people in church life, the most important thing to someone is that they are both needed and known. Think about it. It's just the way we're wired. Needed and known. People want to be known, you know. They may not want to stand on a stage, but it's like, does anybody give a rip? Am I known? You know, if I come here, am I known? And am I needed? People actually want to be needed. They want to be part. They want to belong. They want to engage. They want to activate things. So general thing of a person is needed and known. Same in church life. And let me tell you that this is much harder in a larger community than in a smaller one. Needed and known. People in a large community can struggle with this whole thing of being needed and being known. You see, if you're in a church of 50 people, everyone is needed and known. Everybody knows each other. Hi, Harry. All right, lad. Yeah, have you had a good week? In fact, you don't even need to shout. He's next to you. Hi, Harry. The preacher's boring here this morning. Let's have a chat. He's known and he's needed. Oh, hang on, lad. I've got to check the offering. There's nobody else to do it this morning. So where is a lot smaller community, needed and known isn't an issue. When you get a large, when you get hundreds of people and then eventually thousands of people, needed and known becomes a bigger issue. How are we needed and known? So let me tell you what happens. Very often people think, oh, I can hide in this church then. It's so big. Needed and known is not an issue to me. And you know what happens is when we move away from being needed and known, we drift. Drift comes. I've seen it so many times. Drift comes in our life. Needed and known is a massive deal. That's why we keep saying from this platform, to be needed and known, it's so important that you're part of some kind of small group. I don't need one of them. Needed and known. Needed and known. Either to be part of some kind of small group or to be part of some kind of servicing team. So we're working together because then we're needed, we're actively involved together, and we're known by a group of people who are caring for us, who are discipling us whilst we disciple others. Otherwise, we just come into a large gathering like this and it just literally becomes like a supermarket. Needed and known. I want you to be challenged and I want you to do stuff about this church. Needed and known. Don't sit there and think, I'm okay. I'm all right with my few. We've had the challenge of that. It's not just about the few, it's about the new. Are you friendly or are you friends? Is it about your fix or is it about people being fixed and finding God? We will continue to have great worship. We will continue. And I believe I've got such a team, such a great teaching team, such an eclectic mass of experience and gifting. We're very blessed as a church with the teaching of people. And we'll continue to hang out and we'll do our thing. But I want to say the only thing that we can never do better up there is to win and disciple people to Jesus. And I want it to be a challenge to us.